Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, here's some friendly advice. If all your friends want to sneak into an abandoned asylum, just say no.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Share those real ghost stories with us. If you want to call them in, call 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can also listen without the commercials. You will also get advance episodes and access to the archive if you become a premium subscriber. Do it through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, my sister Kathy Gordon today. I have to say, I just think that goes without saying, but sometimes you need to just put out a public service announcement and be like, hey.
Well, all through the 70s and 80s.
Friendly reminder.
There was the just say no thing, and it completely solved the entire drug crisis in the United States.
It just was such an easy solution. Just say no.
And just remember, everybody had bumper stickers like, just say no. And
that's all you have to do to avoid drug problems.
It fixed everything. But, I realize when you're young and you're with the kids, it's hard
pressure.
To say no mm-hmm. when there's all that peer pressure. But I'm going to tell you what, 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, I don't know how many times I've looked back and thought to myself, why didn't I just say no? Why did I do it? Why did I go with them? Why did I, it would have been better had I said no that night. Why did I, I look back at my life. So,
an asylum.
Yes. No. What could possibly go wrong here?
Like an add to that list. There's some other places we could think of. An abandoned prison. Just say no.
Oh, that would be one.
An abandoned hospital. I don't
abandoned
think so.
Abandoned hospital. I think old schools are all haunted.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Or the abandoned three-story home built in 1900. Stay out of it.
Stay out. When we think of schools, who would you say 9 times out of 10 is the ghost?
The janitor.
Oh, I was just going to say that. It's always the janitor. Okay, the hospital.
That's interesting because I've talked to so many places, about haunted hospitals, and there does seem to be more nurses than mm-hmm. doctors.
Mm-hmm. I'd go with nurse on the hospital one. Mm-hmm.
But I do think the janitors, the custodians, they care.
Yeah, and they know the building mm-hmm. inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes there's, janitors that and custodial and maintenance
now,
staff.
Asylums, that's a whole different category. Because so often with these old asylums, because just the word now, we wouldn't even use.
We don't
But
even
a lot
use
of
asylum.
These back in the day, they were used for, maybe they started as a mental health facility. But it wasn't like mental health like we think of it. It was just like, I really am done with my wife. She's acting crazy. I'm dropping her off at the asylum. I'm going to get a new wife. And they could do that.
They could.
Back
absolutely.
In the 1800s, mm-hmm. early 1900s. You could just drop your wife off. Maybe she was mm-hmm. experienced postpartum depression. Maybe she was menopausal or anything. Maybe she had none of the above and you just were done with her. So a lot of people were put into these asylums. So, and then a lot of the asylums ended up being used for tuberculosis patients. So there's all these different people in these asylums that really don't belong together. There's the criminally insane. And they're in mm-hmm. there with people with Down syndrome. So you end up with this really weird energy in this building. And then on top of it, they had a lot of abuse going on from the people there to care for these poor people. So these asylums have this really, and I'm talking to a place next week, a haunted asylum. It's this weird energy of things that happen. And so what lingers behind, you can be all over the place. So, mm-hmm. There's nurses and doctors and mean nurses and doctors and maybe a kind nurse, and then a child, and then a mother, and then
you might have somebody
insane.
Who's kind of criminally insane that does criminal things, and rapists or something. Then in prisons, you could have the same scenario. You could have somebody who ended up in prison, not by any fault of their own. They were just in the wrong place at the wrong time and then were arrested and they didn't do anything wrong. And they're in there with all these other people.
And I think in prisons, because I've talked to a lot of people with haunted prisons, and they talk, I think there's as many inmates as jailers. Because the jailers stick around because they've got a job to do. Someone's got to watch over these inmates. And a lot of times in those old prisons and jails, they lived on site. Mm. So they didn't go home at the end of the day. They had apartments. They had, you know, maybe I've talked to places where the first two floors were, or maybe the first floor was the sheriff, the jailer. Behind or above, was it the prison or the jail? You know, so they lived right there. So they were on call all the time. So when they pass, you know, they've got prisoners to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a job. So it's interesting. Yeah. But asylums are the ones with the really, really creepy, creepy energy. So this is a story about a guy who went into an abandoned asylum. Just a bad idea.
Just remember, it's always okay. It's okay to say no.
It is. And this is Jeff from Tampa Bay, Florida. So just listen. This is Jeff's public service announcement. It says, I stumbled across your show a few weeks back and I love it. I have many stories to tell, some things that have happened when I was a child. Also a story of when I was lucky enough to have a friend work at the Bellevue Biltmore and was able to provide a personal ghost tour of the hotel that people are not able to usually go. The hotel has been on many ghost hunting shows, but I will leave those for another day. The first story I wanted to tell happened about 10 or so years ago at an abandoned asylum in Tarpon Springs, Florida. And I hope I said, is it Tarpon or Tarpon? I don't know. And being in my late teens, early 20s, I thought I was invincible. So one evening, two friends and I decided it was a good idea to go to this asylum and have a look around. On the way to the asylum, I kept getting an uneasy feeling and feeling very anxious, but fought that feeling. And when we finally arrived and decided to man up, and I followed my friends inside. Okay, you're getting the feeling. I always say, listen to those feelings. You're feeling uneasy and anxious, and that's warning. Run. I forgot to mention, when we pulled up, we saw that the building was already in the process of being demolished, so that should have been our first sign not to go in. As we jumped the fence and entered a part of the building, my anxiety got worse, and then without realizing it, I was separated from my friend, and that's when things started getting bad. I started hearing heavy, booted footsteps and sounds of something scratching at the walls. It always sounded like it came from around a corner or behind me. When thinking this may have been one of my friends, I would go toward the sound to find no one was there. I was chasing these sounds for what felt like hours, but it was probably only a few minutes until I turned one corner and saw a huge black mass, and it felt very menacing at the end of the hallway. And when it started to walk towards me, I basically said, "Nope." I ran out of the building and back toward my friend's car. I arrived at the car out of breath, and to my dismay, my friends hadn't gotten back to the car yet, so I was stuck outside. I needed to talk to someone, so I pulled out my phone and tried to make a call, to only realize that my phone was out of battery, and I knew I had at least 80 to 90% when we started driving there because I pulled it off the charger. Also, while waiting outside the car, I kept hearing something tapping at the back window, which freaked me out even more. When my friends finally arrived, they asked what happened to me, and I said I didn't want to talk about it, and we left it at that. I asked them later if anything had happened to them, and they said, not really.
Nope. There are some people who I swear are absolutely oblivious in this world, and they just walk through and don't notice anything.
Nothing. And the you phone know. Thing, that is not unusual for batteries to get drained in a place like that. So that is not weird that would have happened to him with the phone.
I agree.
The second story I want to tell is more of what happened to my roommate. I always knew, this is interesting to me. And this could explain the first part of the story too. Okay. I always knew something follows me. either just a curious spirit or a guardian of sorts. When I lived alone at my townhouse, I would see things out of the corner of my eye, or things would fall when they shouldn't have. I never felt anything bad or mean-spirited in my house, more of a like, hey, just letting you know I'm here. One day, my friend broke up with his girlfriend and he needed a place to stay for a while, and I had an extra room, so I let him move in. For the first few weeks, everything was normal, and then he started hearing sounds. Almost every day, I would get stories of what happened to him that day. He would constantly hear his name being called when I wasn't home or was downstairs. It started getting bad when he said he would see a shadow person standing at the top of the stairs and staring at him. He would call me and ask if I was home, and I would tell him I wasn't, and he would tell me what he saw. One evening, we were hanging out in the kitchen area, and I bent over to pick something up from the floor. When I stood up, he was bone white. I asked him what the hell was going on, and he said when I bent down, he saw a white figure behind me about 4 or 5 feet tall, pudgy, with stick-like objects in its hair, and said it had a menacing look on its face. We tried to look online to see if we could find out what the creature might have been, but we couldn't find anything. He said he saw it a few times, either standing outside my room or when he would open his door in the middle of the night. He would see it standing in the middle of the hallway, almost like it was waiting.
No.
4 or 5 feet tall, pudgy, with stick-like objects in its hair. That's the last thing I want to see in the middle of the night or any time.
No.
Oh, God, no. He decided he would be moving out.
Okay.
I would have ran out. He started looking for a new place. And one of the few nights before he left, he said he walked out of his room to go to the bathroom and he saw a black orb floating over my door, and that it had what looked like a cape flapping in the wind behind it. We nicknamed it the Batman Ghost. While all this was going on, I never felt anything evil or bad in the house. I've always been very open to feelings of spirits, and I know something has always been around me. I'm not sure if whatever this is followed him or just didn't like him in my house. He said when he moved out, he never had anything happen at his new place. Sorry for writing a long story. It wasn't long. And I appreciate all you do. I will write more about other things that have happened in the near future, Jeffrey. I bet he does have more stories.
But he does.
So that kind of explains the asylum thing. If he's having issues his whole life with spirits kind of following him, no wonder he saw something there. Of course he would have.
Or did something from the asylum attach to him?
Well, but he said his whole life.
Okay, even before the asylum, he had something.
He said, I always knew something follows me.
Okay.
Either just a curious spirit or a guardian angel of sorts.
And I know what he's talking about with the peripheral vision figures that you see, you know,
but
that you'll see something move in your periphery and then you turn to look, but nothing's there.
What the F with a 5 foot tall pudgy thing with a stick
hair.
Yes.
That's weird. And I got nothing on that because that rings no bells to me. Does it to you?
No.
I've never heard this.
Now I'll probably have some crazy ass dream tonight about that.
Mm-hmm.
That, I just don't like it.
Yeah. But yet, Jeffrey seems okay.
Yeah, he seems fine.
If this thing is following him around, it doesn't seem to be harming him or making him upset or doing anything bad to him.
And
maybe you could have like a protective guardian. Nobody said they had to be cute.
I only want attractive guardians. Like, I'm serious. I want to walk out of my room at night and go, you are hot. Like, where did you come from?
Well, the ghost of Hugh Jackman would be fine, you know, but I'm just thinking, just because we don't think they're necessarily lovely doesn't mean they aren't wonderful protectors, spirits, whatever.
Like, I would love to walk out and, like, the best drag queen you ever saw is standing right there. I'm like, this is fun! Will you perform for me or something? Like, this is awesome.
Just be around, that's all.
Betty White. Like if I walked out of my room and saw Betty White standing there, it might startle me, but I'm like, my God, I love you so much. I am so glad you're here. We've got some stuff to talk about, girl.
Yeah.
And then I would sit down and have a conversation. Like that's what I want to haunt me, not this 4 or 5 foot pudgy thing.
No, why do we always get the ghosts of, you know, like the mortician or, you know, like the, you know, bad person or something? Why can't we have the nice ghost like the, you know,
Betty White.
Betty White, or like my old piano teacher, Mrs. Kerr. I loved her.
She
like
was
I would
adorable.
Like to have her hang around.
Yeah.
You know, or I mean, there's so many people from my past. But then again, sometimes I do think that my grandmother and my dad are there, and maybe Mrs. Kerr is too, you know?
So, I don't want the pudgy thing.
But the pudgy thing,
with all respect to 4 to 5 foot pudgy things everywhere, I
with stick hair.
With stick hair. All respect to you guys. Just don't show up at my house.
We were being a little bit
I was
too
being
judgy.
I was
about
being judgy.
Looks.
I was. That was mean to me. And I apologize.
Because it might be the nicest spirit ever. And
well,
it's protecting.
If I walked out of my room at night and was standing there and it said something like, just want you to know I love the Golden Girls and I rescued animals when I was alive, I'd be like, oh, we got something to talk about. Let's start here.
Well, you know, the other weird part of that story was the black orb.
Yeah. Batman ghost.
Yeah, bat orb.
I don't, that's weird. Well, let's go to one more story here. It says, my name is Miranda. I am writing from Minnesota. I hesitate at writing this story as I am currently sitting in the building where several happenings have been occurring. That's interesting because that is all present tense. I've been listening to your podcast for the last month and I can't get enough of them. Well, now for the rest of my story of events. I work in an old Army armory, what currently houses several Army Reserve units. To kind of lay the scene, as you enter the front door of the building, you are walking into a long corridor that separates the building into two sides. On the north side of the building, along the corridor, are a number of offices as well as a loading dock that has hundreds of large cages for storing equipment. On the south side of the corridor is more office areas. The corridor is long and the ceiling is very high. The building has skylights that run the length of the corridor, providing for natural lighting, so there are very few lights there. When it is early in the morning or later in the evening, as well as anytime it's stormy, the building has a very dark and intimidating feeling. As I sit here, I'm thinking of a couple of things that have happened here in my 8 years of working at this location. I used to work late into the evening when no one else was around. The corridor would be dark as the sun had already set, and I would be plugging away in my office. In the entryway to my office is a microwave and refrigerator. Sometimes, while I was working late into the evening, I would hear the refrigerator door open, someone fumbling around in the fridge, followed by the door shutting and the microwave door opening, closing, and then turning on. That's so weird.
Now, that's
like
a pretty
somebody,
distinct sound.
Yeah, it's like somebody got in the fridge and went and heated up their food.
Yeah, and a microwave door opening and shutting, there is nothing else that sounds like that. Or turning on a microwave, right?
Right.
It's a microwave.
It's like beep, beep, beep. Mm-hmm. When I would get up to look and see who was there, the microwave would be running and no one would be around. I would go to the running microwave and open the door only to find it empty. That's weird. This had happened on several occasions. I would look around to see who was in the offices and find myself alone. One night, the microwave again had turned itself on and I yelled, almost screamed, "Stop!" At which the microwave suddenly turned off. I was a little freaked out and again left my office to investigate. Because when it would turn off, it would beep again. Seeing no one, I went back to my office and sat back at my desk. I made a smart comment, almost under my breath, something to the effect of, "Well, if you're going to be here this late, you could at least help me." At that time, I heard what sounded like fingernails drumming right next to me on the desk. I panicked and left my office in a rush. I didn't even bother locking the door or verifying that the building was secure, which in my line of work is a big no-no. Yeah, that would be. You're working at an army armory. I have a cage over, I don't understand these cage thing because she said there's hundreds of them, or he, I'm not sure. Says, I have a cage over by the loading dock, which I hate going back to by myself. There are two long hallways breaking off from the dock that each have cages running along both sides, with the exception of a small break in the left hallway that has a turnoff to go to yet another hallway with more cages. The only issue is, within this turnoff is the coffin and flags used for funeral services practice.
Oh.
Whenever I walk in this area, I get the chills. I haven't seen anything of any form back there, but it makes me feel really nervous. I see shadows or areas that are unnaturally darker than areas around them. I avoid this area as much as possible. Lately, since I've been listening to your show, I feel that whatever is in the building has been listening with me. I leave your podcast running virtually all day long. See, here's what I don't get. You're working in a haunted place. And how do you, like, doesn't that just make it worse for people? It does for me. Like, if you're kind of nervous and you're having microwaves turn on and off and refrigerators opening, and you're like, I'm going to listen about ghosts all day. With
there
the
are
ghost.
Times I cannot. Mm. I absolutely cannot. I have to go, nope, I can't do it here.
Right.
Here I cannot.
So it says, I recently rearranged my office and found that the carpet stunk. When I was done, I had put an air freshener on top of a filing cabinet, almost overhanging the front of the cabinet. The filing cabinet is covered in dust, so it made a perfect ring where I had set it down. One day, I had gone to a meeting and had left the podcast running. When I returned, my office mate was looking around my side of the office. When I asked him what was going on, he said he didn't know. He had heard a big bang and came over to my area to investigate. He was listening to one of the stories and my Bluetooth speaker died, turning off the podcast. About 20 seconds after the podcast stopped, he heard the bang. I started looking with him, but nothing seemed out of place until I looked on top of my filing cabinet. The air freshener was gone. We finally located the air freshener behind the cabinet in pieces, almost as if it had been thrown. I looked on top of the filing cabinet, thinking maybe when I was rearranging, I may have bent the cabinet, and it was at an angle that the air freshener could have slid backwards off the cabinet, but the solid ring in the dust where I had originally set down the canister was still intact. I have no ideas what happened. There are other stories about this site from hearing... This is weird. There are other stories about this site from hearing sword fights occurring in the hallway at night. That came from nowhere. Lights going off and on their own, as well as stories from the property that we are on. I will save those for another time. I am tense enough as it is, Miranda. Well, here's the thing, Miranda.
How old do you think this building is? Because an armory could be something very, very old.
I would say armories. Remember, like, they built a lot of them in the 50s and 60s?
Yeah, it could be something like that, but there could be a very old, you know, armory back east. They probably have some really old ones, don't you suppose? Because I'm just thinking the sword thing. I can't get my head around that one.
Well, it's so random. Like, that came from nowhere. You might as well have said, you know, there was aliens popping in the evenings. I was like, sword fights?
I know. That's why I'm like, who would have done sword fights? You know, if the building was old enough, maybe, you know, there could be something like that. But I don't know.
I don't either. But what I think is so interesting is, once again, like, so the place is haunted, but she's writing this from the haunted place. She's listening to podcasts at the haunted place. Mm-hmm. That's why she's tense. Like,
yeah. Well, we want her to listen to the podcast, though.
I don't want to judge you, Miranda. I'm not judging you. I just think you're way braver than I am. And this could be contributing to your tension.
But, you know, it's interesting because whatever this spirit is, it seems to be... That's why the sword thing threw me, because I'm thinking the whole time whatever this is sort of a modern ghost, because it's microwaving things and it's opening the fridge and it's doing things that we would do in our lives today or in the last few years, you know. And that's why the sword fight thing, I was like, is there more than one thing going on here?
But I definitely think the place is haunted. But I would just suggest, you know, mm-hmm. it might be listening to some fun music, kind of changing the atmosphere a little bit. I don't know that listening to ghost podcasts in that place is a good idea, maybe.
I don't know. I don't want to discourage her from listening to our podcast.
She can listen all the way there, all the way home. She can listen when she's mowing her yard or doing the dishes.
But there are times I cannot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, no. Or like a scary movie. I'm thinking, no, let me think. You know, like, do I think I can handle this tonight at 2 o'clock in the morning when I wake up?
I know, because they've got that new Exorcist movie coming out. Believe something like that.
It looks really scary.
It looks really scary, right? But my friend John and I both like The Exorcist. So, and what's it? Ellen, what's her name? Yeah, she's in this. Like, she was in the original one and she's in this. I like her. And I'm like, I think I might want to go see this. And so he and I were planning on going. So I looked last night to see when it, and it's nighttime, like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. I'm not in bed, but I pull it up on my phone to see when it comes out. It comes out October 5th or 6th that weekend. I started watching the trailer again. I had to shut it off.
Like, I'm telling you, we saw that trailer on an IMAX, and I was like, whoa, I think I just saw every bit of that movie that I need to see.
It looks so freaky, but I'm going to go. I want to go see it. But it'll have to be the first matinee of the day, like whatever the earliest one is. That's the one I'm going to go to.
Ugh, I agree.
Super creepy stuff. I agree. So if you have a real ghost story, why not share it with us? You can call in. It's 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can also get an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes and access to the archive by becoming a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts, or you can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.